Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry today. Well, hoping to turn the tide in what has become an escalating drone program, President Obama will begin restricting the use of unmanned drone strikes. The major policy shift comes as the U.S. acknowledged for the first time formally that its drone program has killed four Americans abroad. Want to turn now to the other side of this story and how the use of drones has affected the perception of America abroad. Hussein Rashid is professor of religion at Hofstra University. He recently returned from Pakistan, where the locals talked to him about how U.S. security efforts affect them. Hussein, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
It's good to have you. So you've just been in Pakistan. Look, U.S. drone policy, which is the, for better or for worse, the flagship effort of our anti-terror effort, it's become such in places like Pakistan and Yemen, has been going on for 10 years, if not longer. People have been living with this. What have they been telling you about how this has affected their lives, maybe more importantly, their attitudes towards the United States?
You know, I think we understand a lot about what's happening in Pakistan and in Yemen because a lot of reports have come out in the last couple of weeks. People hearing drones, people being afraid and trying to understand living with that fear. But it was something very different for me to actually be there and hear the ways in which people's lives are affected, even in urban areas where these drones supposedly are not operating, that there really is a palpable sense of fear. And that fear is creating a sense of resentment against America. At the same time, I will say that a lot of Pakistanis also realize how complicit the Pakistani government is in this. I think what we have to, as Americans, be conscious of is that we really don't have a clear policy. You know, the administration has on again, off again denied the existence of this program. We have media reports on it. We have memos on it, but still it doesn't officially exist. I think we need to be conscious of the fact that what is happening overseas not only has potential foreign policy blowback, but has implications for domestic policy, because it's a question of the rule of law, in my opinion.
Well, today it is being acknowledged by the president, U.S. drone policy in several ways. And I want to ask you about the implications of that change. But when people are cognizant of it in Pakistan, for instance, we've heard so much about areas where terrorists, Al-Qaeda, whatever we're calling them, are operating, where there might be collateral damage. A wedding gets targeted accidentally, or somebody who's near a terrorist becomes collateral damage. If you live in Karachi, probably not so much. The average Pakistani has real fear that you're saying that they could be on the wrong end of a hellfire missile, or do they just have a generalized sense that their country's being targeted? Because those are two very different things.
I think they're related. I think there's a general sense that country is being targeted. Absolutely, right? So this is a question of, imagine if something happened in the middle of a field where nobody lived for 100 miles in America. We would still be up in arms. It's an attack on our nation. But I think we also have to realize that, yes, a lot of these bombings are happening in the so-called tribal areas that are not under Pakistani government control. But when we look at these terrorists are like rats. So if you start sinking the operations where they are, they start moving. And then they start moving into urban areas like Karachi, where you see a lot of urban violence from these terrorists. You know, people were openly telling me from Karachi, were saying, we are afraid to go pray because we don't know if we'll be shot by these people. And they see that as, you know, why are we not fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them over here? Very similar rhetoric to what we hear.
And there's a fear then, I'm extrapolating from that, there's a fear that I don't want to go to market or to mosque or down the street because I might be standing next to the wrong guy who's in a crosshairs.
Very much like that. And you said, you know, accidentally targeting a wedding. But we've read reports where it seems we've actually intentionally targeted funerals because we suspect high-profile targets will be there. Again, all of this is unofficial, but if you're targeting a funeral, you're going to hit innocent people.
Now, at the same time, these dynamics are something that our government says that they're aware of. If not drones per se, the impact on citizens and their perception of the United States as we fight this war on terror and have for the last 10 or more years. The State Department spends millions, if not billions, with their own efforts trying to counteract this fear and this bad feeling towards the United States. Programs, cultural programs, academic programs, as you know, probably far better than I, where we're also spending a lot of money sort of on the diplomatic, cultural, soft power end of American outreach. Is it canceled out completely by people's fear or anger about drones and the military aspect, or is it helping? What's your sense of how people react to that in a place like Pakistan?
I think you're absolutely right. I think there really is there's a zero-sum game here. You know, for every positive interaction that is made by the State Department, a drone strike will wipe that out, even the rumor of a drone strike. And when I was in Pakistan, I was not there in a State Department capacity. I was there with a multi-faith NGO. You know, there was a real sense of skepticism that we were Americans coming over. Are we working for the government? Which government are we working for? And a lot of the trust-building time was spent saying we are not here as representatives of any government. We are here as peace builders. And there was really a sense that they could not trust anybody who came from a State Department trip.
Well, that's a hard message to convey to somebody when they're looking you in the eye and you say, I'm here on a peace-building mission, and they're wondering what eye is flying overhead.
Yeah. Well, I made a sarcastic tweet before I left for Pakistan. I'm Shia. You know, am I more likely to get killed by a drone or a sectarian bullet while I'm in Pakistan? But you get on the ground and you realize this really is a palpable fear for so many people.
Well, sarcasm aside, what do you think is the answer?
I think that one of the things that we as Americans have to be responsible for is the question of accountability, transparency, and legality of these drone strikes. When Attorney General Eric Holder says to us last night says to us the day before President Obama's national security speech that, we've killed four Americans by drones, only one of which we targeted. You know, all sorts of red flags should be going up. Well, how do we decide who gets attacked? Does it matter if it's an American or a non-American? What are the rules of war? How do we decide if somebody's guilty without a trial, which is enshrined in our Constitution? And I think we've got to understand this has implications back in America. When the LAPD officer Dornan had gone on a shooting spree earlier this year, people were talking about using drones against him. Drones against American citizens who have not been found guilty of any crime. This should really concern us, that if we can't apply the rule of law at home and we can't apply the rule of law abroad, how can we say we're a nation of laws?
That episode with the LAPD officer sort of happened at the same time that people were talking about the national security implications of the Alaki targeting. So those two things kind of had a confluence of events, and it became logical to some people to use a domestic drone. But before we let you go, Professor Hussein Rashid, we're hearing today that U.S. drone policy is not only being acknowledged, but is being changed, altered, at least as it applies to the Americans like you discussed. I'm not sure. Maybe you can help us understand whether a tightening of U.S. drone policy or at least a public acknowledgement that it exists and that it is operating helps to begin to change these perceptions that you're talking about, or is it only a function of the number of drones, the number of hellfires, the number of dead in a place like Pakistan that affects their perception of this program? Does what the president has to say today matter?
I think it absolutely does have to matter. The reality is drones are now with us. They are part of our modern arsenal, and I don't think we're going to give them up anytime soon. I think what we need to do to demonstrate is that there are laws and procedures. We have accountability for their usage, and that we as Americans can now have an open debate about their role in how unmanned vehicles represent Americans abroad, because we've got to understand these machines now represent us.
Hussein Rashid is professor of religion at Hofstra University, recently returned from Pakistan. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.